So I mentioned yesterday that not on a whim, but just to finally satisfy my curiosity, I last Thursday went to Northwestern and got the serum test. A little blood was drawn from my arm to see if I had the coronavirus antibody. I got a letter back or an email back saying, yes, I have tested positive for the antibody. And in the notation from the doctor, it said that that instance where you suspect you contracted it when you lost a sense of taste and smell briefly in March may well have been the instance where you acquired the disease. I did not have many symptoms other than that. Really, I did not. So I'm, I guess, going to be counted now in the 50-plus thousand people in Chicago who have had COVID-19. And then the question is Ro Khan kept asking me yesterday, what does it mean? What does it mean? And I think what a lot of us hoped it would mean is that, wow, lucky you, now you have the antibody. Now you can go about more confidently. Now you're not going to give it to anybody else. But that's the old school thinking, isn't it? Here is Dr. Kevin Most, who regularly joins us on WGN, the chief medical officer at Northwestern's Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doctor, welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. What does it mean? What does it mean?
John, I'll tell you, if you call me back in 1 year, I'll have an answer for you.
Gosh, really?
I hate to say it that way, but it's unfortunate. You know, what it means is that you had the infection. Your body was exposed to the virus. It made antibodies, and that those antibodies are still circulating. The two things about it, one is you got what we call a qualitative test. It was a yes-no. Yes, you had it, or no, you didn't. Versus a quantitative test that said, yes, you had the antibody. This is how much you have. And how long is this going to last, and how much protection is it going to give you? Those are the questions that we don't have answered yet.
What do you mean it doesn't tell me how much of the antibody I have? There was a number on there, like 119 and then 165, and there was a little arrow. I'm sorry.
Correct.
So what does all of that mean?
Correct. So we have to pick a number where we say above this is positive, below this is negative. So in other words, some people can have a test where they're going to get a numeric value, but they're going to say the sensitivity of the test does not tell us that this is positive. So we know that you have to be above a certain volume, a certain number, to be called positive. Now, just because you're positive does not tell me that you have 100% of antibody that's going to neutralize the infection and fight it off and you're going to be immune. It might be you have 10%, and you might be going to 20%, or you might have 30%, but you're on your way to 20%. We don't know how high the spike will get as far as the positive, the quantitative amount
of antibodies.
And we don't know how long it's going to run. What's the run rate? Is it going to be with you next year, or is it going to be gone in some cases that we're seeing right now, where it essentially goes almost back to zero?
Kevin, this is fascinating.
After 6 weeks.
I have not heard that as part of the discussion. It was just antibody yes, antibody no.
Right.
And maybe yes means that you're free, but we knew that there was some tentativeness about that. But you're telling me that even if you were to say, yes, you have the antibody, you're good to go, it's a level of antibody. You don't know which direction it's going or how much protection that affords you.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That's our big thing, is the IgG, the antibody that we want for the long time. In some places, we're seeing, they just came out with a study actually this morning from Australia, where it really decreased after 6-8 weeks. So we don't like to see that. We want to see it stay up so that in the fall, when this comes back, you have a lot of antibody.
Is there a number that one should look for if they get an antibody test?
We don't even know that yet. So right now,
well,
there
was a number on my thing. I mean, but you
correct.
So, but you don't know what the optimal value is or what the line is.
Yep. So we know the number on your test that says you're positive versus anybody below this is negative.
Yeah.
But we don't know, is that number, one, going to be sustainable, and two, does it give you protection? So we don't want people to have this false sense of security that because they tested positive, they're in the clear.
Ah, crap.
Sorry.
Okay, so then with that number, how does that factor in or play into the vaccine? Because aren't we being delivered antibodies in the vaccine, or creating antibodies because of the vaccine?
Yep. probably the biggest play or biggest question, Steve, is exactly what you're asking. What information are we going to get between now and the fall that's going to show us, is the vaccine going to be a vaccine that we're going to get once a year, that we're going to get once and then we're going to be done with it, that we're going to need to have once every 6 months? That's going to be the biggest play right now, is the response from the vaccine and how long it stays, because we're starting to figure out, once we've been exposed to the virus, how long the antibodies stay. We're just in the infancy because we've only had so many people who have been exposed in the last 120 days.
In a typical scenario, though, where you do have built up an antibody, you are not contagious. That's typical, correct?
Two totally different things. So one thing you're saying is talking about protecting yourself. The other you're saying is, am I contagious? So here, I'll give you the example. What we want to see in the antibodies is something called a neutralizing antibody, all right? That antibody will stop the virus from entering your cell and replicating. The virus could still be in your throat. It's not replicating. Could you be contagious? Probably not. Probably you don't have enough load there because it's not being allowed to replicate. But you still could test positive for the virus, even though the viral load will be so low that you wouldn't be contagious. Did that confuse you?
No.
Okay.
What about this, doctor? A gentleman called in earlier today, and he said in his neighborhood, if you had a vaccine tomorrow, they're not taking it or giving it to their kids anyway. They don't want to be the quote-unquote guinea pigs.
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, we're doing a study here in Chicago. We're doing a study nationwide. It happens to be here in Chicago with Moderna. We'll start the study with AstraZeneca here in just a couple of weeks. That Northwestern is going to be one of the participants in that. The goal is that we hopefully get enough people to sign up to show, boy, it's effective and it's safe. Because as you're saying, there's a lot of people out there saying, why am I going to get this? I'm not going to be the first one in line. It's a brand new virus, or excuse me, it's a brand new vaccine. We don't even know if it works. And really, I don't even think I need it. So you have that portion of the population that is going to really slow us down from getting to that herd immunity number that we hope to get to if everybody gets vaccinated.
I've got a lot of questions for you on lines, doctor. Do you mind if we pick up a couple of phones?
Yeah, no problem.
Dr. Kevin Most is with us from Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, the chief medical director there. Jim, I'm glad you called because you've got a question that a lot of our listeners have and that I do too. Elif, can you help me out with that? Hey, Jim, you're on WGN Radio. What's your question? Hi.
Good morning, John. Good morning, doctor. I had the test taken yesterday in Waukegan. It seemed too good to be true. It was a 10-minute wait, and the test took 30 seconds. My question is, can I trust the outcome?
And the question I have, too, is the same with the antibody. But you were tested for COVID. It took 30 seconds to get the test. You got the results in 10 minutes, and you're wondering if you can trust.
Oh, no. I waited 10 minutes. I won't get the test results for 3 to 5 days. What I'm asking is, can I trust the results? Yeah. When they come in,
Dr. Most, can...
Because I'm reading that there's so many false negatives and positives.
All right, we both have the same question, but he wants to know how much can he trust his COVID test, doctor, and I want to know how much I can trust my antibody test.
Yep. So, Jim, the test that you had done, you're testing for the virus itself. Is the virus present? So when we talk about false negatives, it's a couple things. One, how was the specimen collected? Did we get to where the virus is? Two, was it handled properly? And then three, the accuracy of the machine. If all of those are done well, we see accuracy rates in the 90, 92, 93%. Are there going to be some false negatives? Absolutely there are. But really, if it's well collected and run properly, you're going to have a high sensitivity as well as specificity. In other words, the high chance that a positive will be positive and a negative will be negative.
That's good to
know. We just don't know, like you said, if it's going to be handled properly. None of us know this.
Well, Jim, I'll tell you what the bigger concern that we're having right now is we're having turnaround times from some labs being 7 to 10 days. By the time I get the result back to you on day 10, and I say you're positive 10 days ago and you had symptoms for 2 days before, you're already done with the illness and you may have spread it to many, many people. So we need to get the turnaround time down to 24, 48 hours so that we can do contact tracing, we can isolate people to slow this down. Telling them 7 days later that they had a positive test really is defeating the whole reason for the testing.
Unless part of the protocol is once you get the test, quarantine until you get the results. I mean,
correct. So anybody who's symptomatic, we're absolutely telling them that. We're looking for those asymptomatic people. We say, well, now we've taken the test. Please go home and stay in your room for the next 7 days.
What do you make of the accuracy of the antibody test that I took?
Yeah, so the antibody test that you took is a good one. You know, at Northwestern, early on, there was a big flood of antibody tests that came in from China. FDA did not approve them. There was a lot of inaccuracies. A lot of high-quality major medical institutions said, we are not going to do antibody testing, even though there's demand for them, until we have an FDA-approved test. So that's the route that we took. We missed out on the early testing that was inaccurate, which I think was a good reason, a good thing to do. And now I can tell you that we'll stand up against these results that absolutely, you know, you had this disease at one point.
That is, you are 90%+ confident in the antibody test as well?
Correct. And probably even higher in the antibody test, because we're drawing blood from you, and then we're running it, and it's not like it's sitting around. It doesn't have to go into a special medium, doesn't have to stay a special temperature, there's so many less steps in the blood draw for antibodies.
Well, let me tell you,
than
doctor,
there is for the other test.
What everybody is saying, quote unquote, everybody is saying that the COVID tests and especially the antibody tests are just not that accurate. There's no point in them. The people that are saying that are using dated information, that if you are going to a reliable source and it's being handled properly, and that's all you've got, folks, you can only hope that that's the case, then it's very accurate. You're telling me that.
Yeah. Yeah, so even the virology test, the test for the virus itself, if you remember, Abbott came out with the test, and boy, in the news a couple days later, boy, this isn't very accurate. The reason it wasn't accurate is because the individuals who were running the test were not following the way the test was made to be run. We have that same machine here. This is a test where the Abbott Allure, where you run that test in 15 minutes, it's extremely accurate. You don't put in a median, sit it overnight, and run it the next day. It's not going to be accurate. That's not the way the machine was built, not the way the test was built. So if you follow the recommendations and the testing requirements and handle the specimen correctly, the sensitivity and specificity of the blood test as well as the virology test is well north of 90%.
Dr. Arwady said that 50,000 people in Chicago have tested positive for COVID. The actual number is 5 to 10 times that amount. Minimum, then, 250,000 people, they think, in the city alone have had or have COVID-19. What do you say to the people who have gotten through it and can now go about their lives, assuming they have some sort of antibody? How should they live their lives?
Well, you're going to hope that they continue to live their lives the same way we are, because we still do not know what kind of protection they're going to get. And the other thing, John, is like you said, we're taking an estimate that 10 times the number of people, if everybody went and got their blood tested, boy, we'd have a much better idea of two things. One, is that 10 times number right? And two, now we would have a blood sample from an individual that we would say, we want you to come back in 6 weeks, and we're going to test you again to see where your levels are. We would go from a qualitative yes test to a quantitative, boy, you still have protection. Those are going to be the tests that are going to be the most reassuring 6 to 8 weeks from now.
Steve Bertrand?
Doctor, there, just as you speak, there are several doctors on Capitol Hill before a House committee, and they are warning against this rush to a vaccine, saying that, you know, you can't cut steps, it has to be done, and sort of warning that we might come out with the wrong sort of thing or give people a false sense of confidence if this is rushed through. Are we going too fast, or are we going at a good degree of fast?
You're talking about the reopening, Steve?
No, I'm talking about the development of a vaccine.
Yeah, Steve, so if you look at the history of vaccines, the fastest vaccine we ever made was for the measles vaccine, and it took us 4 years. Look what we've tried to do with HIV. Look what we've tried to do with Ebola. And now you're going to take a virus that sits in a family that we know mutates a lot. Am I going to be the first one to say this vaccine is going to work 100%? No. And is it going to be a vaccine that is totally protective, or is it going to be like an influenza vaccine where it might minimize the symptoms from some individuals and protect some? I think that's what you're going to get. This is not going to be a pure 100% this vaccine works. I think it's going to be one that it's going to impact some people and decrease their symptoms, shorten the duration of the illness, similar to that we see with influenza. this isn't going to be a polio vaccine or a measles vaccine where we're going to eradicate this illness in the first shot.
So people putting things off that they're going to wait till we get a vaccine to do this, they're not going to get the vaccine they're hoping for.
My personal opinion, just looking at the history of medicine, is that we are not going to get a vaccine straight out of the box from a virus that's very complex that's going to give us lifelong or long-term immunity on the first dose.
Still, it's better than nothing. For instance, if you said, okay, that's what we've got, I would take it and take whatever protection it affords. When you get the flu vaccine every year, they say this will help.
Absolutely, 100%, John. You know, we know the flu vaccine certainly will minimize symptoms, will shorten duration. So this, if this helps in that portion of it, that's great. And we have to remember, there's still another arm of the pharmacy business that's looking for a drug similar to Tamiflu. Can we get remdesivir in an oral form, something with a combination of the vaccine as well as a medication that can shorten the duration? Those are going to be the two things, coupled with immediate testing.
From Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Thank you, doctor. By the way, let's ask the doctor off the air. We got to get to the news here. But the question that Tom had on line five, where should I get tested if I don't have insurance? The doctor's answer after the news. By the way, Elif, so what's the website that Dr. Most told us about?
It's dph.illinois.gov/testing.
Stop. DPH, Department of Public Health. So DPH.
Dot Illinois.
Illinois, spell it out.
Dot gov.
Dot gov.
Slash testing.
Yeah. And then what happens?
And then you see a list, or actually you, there's a search, there's a map, and in the map there's a search box. You can type in Chicago or wherever you are. And then a huge list of locations come up in front of you.
And you scroll down.
Say that again?
And you just scroll down to find one near you? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, you just scroll down, and each of them has the requirements for a COVID test. So one of, I'm looking at one right now that says requirements are appointment with telehealth medical provider, and they determine if you need a test if you're symptomatic.
Do you search by zip code or just general area and then you find one near you? You kind of just look around.
You can just put your city in there.
City. But it's not any more specific than that. Chicago's a big city. There's hundreds and hundreds of places.
Oh, well, let me try my zip code.
Yeah. See what happens if you type in ours. Yours is the same as mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
the
then
ones
it comes
in
up
our neighborhood.
In our neighborhood. And then it tells you whether or not you need a doctor's appointment or a doctor's prescription, if you will, for that test, something like that. It guides you.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has to be ordered ahead of time.
Does it tell you if they're free or not?
I think earlier when I was looking, it did say if it was free. But if not, you can go to the website and it'll specify.
Okay. That's dp.illinois.gov/testing. Did I get that right, Elif?
DPH.
DPH, Department of Public Health /illinois.gov. I'm going to do it again. DPH.illinois.gov/testing.